Download Adam Sank's last comedy album on Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play.
We're already in the shower together. The risk has been taken. If I don't blow you, the risk will have been for nothing.
Hey guys, it's Adam, and I need to record a little preamble before you listen to episode 141 with Kareth Foster. So in this episode, and in the last few episodes, I have been urgently telling you to go to podcastawards.com and nominate the Adam Sank Show on or after May 30th, 2020. Well, I don't know if they changed the date or if my brain is just completely fried from the pandemic, which is something we actually talk about in today's show. But I got the date wrong. The podcast award nominations are not until July 1st, not May 30th, July 1st. So when you hear me ranting and raving on this episode and previous episodes about May 30th, please disregard, forgive me. I'm sorry if you all went to the website and tried to nominate me when it's not possible yet. But if you could, leave yourselves a little digital reminder on July 1st to go to podcastawards.com and nominate the Adam Sank Show in the Feast of Fools LGBTQ category. I would be very grateful. Without further ado, on with the show.
Warning. The program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
Ryan, pull down your pants.
JB, you start sucking.
The host, a comedian of questionable talent, speaks incessantly on topics of a sexual and scatological nature.
I will fuck you, but I will not eat you.
I want that fucking dick down my throat while I'm dicking him down.
Okay. I hope my mother's listening.
Your ass became a rosebud?
Yeah, that's because I got dicked down real good.
He asks questions of his celebrity guests that are highly inappropriate and rude.
Which of you has a bigger penis?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a fun, good one.
Going down on the clitoris?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I absolutely like where you're going with this.
For some reason, the word strap-on just comes right out of my mouth, Bianca.
Yeah, you said come and strap-on at the same time.
I do.
And he cannot stop talking about his buttocks.
I think your butt is telling you, no mas, por favor.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now...
The one, the only, Adam Sank! Bottom.
Everything has its season, everything has its time. Show me a reason and I'll soon show you a rhyme. Yeah, I hit that. I hit that note. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We are not live, but this is a brand new episode. If you're listening at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, May 31st, 2020, the year of the coronavirus apocalypse, at dnrstudios.com, the only place to hear this podcast live and throughout the week that it first airs. Hey, do me a favor, leave us your ratings and reviews on iTunes or wherever else you listen to this podcast. Email me, at adam@adamsank.com. Like the Adam Sank Show Facebook page, download the comedy albums, donate to AIDS Walk, my AIDS Walk specifically, at adamsank.com. Hey, once again, if you're listening to this podcast, if you look at the calendar right now and it says May 30th or later, then go to podcastawards.com immediately and nominate the Adam Sank Show in the Feast of Fools / Fun LGBTQ category. Listen, I have an important announcement to make about this. If I don't get nominated this year, I'm ending the podcast. Yeah, I said it. You know why? Because with the number of listeners that I have, if each of you were to just take 5 minutes out of your day and nominate this podcast, there's no way that we wouldn't be nominated this year. But you didn't last year, and we weren't nominated. So I'm asking you, and I'm telling you, and I'm threatening you. I'm threatening you that I will end this podcast if I'm not nominated. I mean it. So either pause this right now, go to podcastawards.com, register for the nomination process. It's free. They will not spam you. You will never hear from them again. Nominate us, and then you're done. Or you can write a reminder to yourself now to do it after the show. But please do it. Thank you. Also, I'll be hosting something new and exciting. I'm hosting a big gay virtual vegan dinner party on June 4th. Those of you who are vegans,
or perhaps you're not a vegan, but you're wanting to dip your toe or your balls, your taint into veganism, sign up for this event. Just go to Facebook and type in Big Gay Virtual Vegan. Or you could even type in Vegan Adam Sank, and I bet you'd find it in the events. There's an event page. You can get tickets and full details. It doesn't cost much. You can win a brand new vegan cookbook that isn't even coming out until July. Again, the date of this is June 4th. I hope to see as many people there as possible. Everyone's going to cook their own vegan dinner. We're going to talk about what we made and how we made it, and then eat it in front of each other, stuff our faces on Zoom. As we are wont to do during this time. Hey, today's guest is an old favorite of mine and of the show's. It's Kareth Foster, hilarious comedian, professional speaker, author, one of my oldest, dearest friends. I like the sound of her voice, and I think she's perfect for radio. She had a radio show for years. She was Don Imus's sidekick for a while, but she's got such a fun voice. And she's a lovely person. She's out with a brand new book called You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy. It actually comes out today, May 31st. So order it. My co-host today is nobody. I shouldn't say that. My co-host is Lady, my dog, and myself. That's it. Ryan has taken it. I'm recording this on Memorial Day weekend, which, by the way, I'd like to point out is not something I would normally do. Normally, we would be off this weekend. We'd be playing a best of. But you know what? I am so committed and so worthy of a podcast award nomination that I have been here every week, sometimes more than once a week, since this crisis began, pumping out loads of content for all of you. Thank you. So Ryan's taking the weekend off. He's in an undisclosed location with Boy Wolf, but he did record a RuPaul's Drag Race update, which we'll be playing a little later. This is the part of the show where he and I discuss what we recommend as far as viewing. I have a strange recommendation for you guys this week, and you're going to sort of snicker and say, like, well, why would I watch that shit? But I highly recommend a special that ABC did called The Story of Soaps. It already aired, but I'm sure you can watch it on demand. The Story of Soaps is about the history of soap operas in this country and the impact that they've had on our lives. Now, I was a huge, huge General Hospital fan as a child. I was 10 years old when Luke and Laura got married, maybe 12, I can't remember, but I was down there, and I would watch every day with my sisters after school, and then we would watch The Edge of Night, which came on at 4 o'clock in New Jersey. The Edge of Night was a half-hour soap that was, like, super exciting and intense. There was lots of mystery and intrigue, and someone was always getting murdered. Edge of Night went off the air while I was still, you know, in my adolescence, I think, but General Hospital's still on. Anyway, it's a great special. It's much more in-depth and scholarly than you would think. And the fact is, the soap opera is one of the oldest forms of transmitted entertainment in this country. It goes back to the days of radio, and it still has an impact on everything we watch now. All those Netflix shows that you binge on are essentially soap operas. They're serialized. So, and it's there's a million celebrities in this special, including Carol Burnett. So it's fun. Watch The Story of Soaps on ABC. Okay. So now it's time to get down to business. I noticed something this week, and I posted about it on Facebook to ask if anyone else was experiencing this during this weird time that we're all living in. And it turned out that pretty much everybody said they were. And it's that I have no short-term memory anymore. I will, I'll walk over to my computer to order something on Amazon, and I'll sit down at the computer, and I'll go to Amazon.com, and then I won't remember what I wanted to order. It's happening all the time. It's like I'm suddenly senile. I can't hold a thought in my head for more than a few minutes. And it's, you know, it's been since this whole home quarantine thing began. So a lot of people said, yeah, me too, me too. And then one of my friends posted a link to this great story from HuffPo, the Huffington Post, that I thought I would share with you guys. Because I know it's a shitty time for everyone, and everyone's sort of managing this in different ways. But the title of the article is 10 Sneaky Ways That Your Coronavirus Anxiety Is Coming Out. In other words, you may not recognize it as anxiety, but it's manifesting itself in strange things that may or may not be happening to you during this time. Excuse me while I sip my delicious iced coffee. Okay, number one, and you know I love a list, by the way. Number one, you're feeling more tired than usual, even if you don't do much during the day. I definitely have this. The expert says if you haven't had the same gusto each day that you usually do, you're not alone. Energy loss is the most common and confusing side effect of this pandemic, especially for people that are typically active or frequent exercisers. Number two, you aren't sleeping well. I've kind of had the opposite of this. I've been sleeping a little too well. I sleep, you know, normally 6 or 7 hours a night, and lately I've been sleeping 8 or 9. But a lot of people are suffering from insomnia. One therapist says that excess cortisol levels, which are elevated when you're under stress, I just lost my place. See, I'm having symptom one already. Oh, excess cortisol levels have a negative impact on the quality of rest and the ability to fall asleep. She recommends that you create a nighttime ritual, stick to a consistent bedtime, avoid screens for an hour or so before bed, limit caffeine intake. Yeah, I've been going to bed pretty much at the same time I always do. I just sleep a little later because I don't have to get up and shower and shave and get on a subway to go to work. So I do think that's good advice. Number three, you startle more easily. I don't think I've noticed this, but apparently anxiety can present as hypervigilance. So, you know, maybe you turn the corner and you see someone, you know, when you're outside going to the store, you see someone you weren't expecting to see, and you scream. Again, that's our brains are just so taxed right now dealing with the surreal and horrifying situation that we're all dealing with, that we're not the parts of our brain that usually say, like, oh yeah, don't worry about that, that's just like a person standing there that you didn't expect to see, there's no reason to startle, that part of our brain is like shut off because we're just so fucking taxed. Number four, you're channeling lots of energy into hobbies or activities. A lot of people are baking, taking online courses, fostering a dog, growing tomatoes. According to experts, excessive enthusiasm or extreme productivity might be your coping mechanism. This is like, you know, kind of an upside of the pandemic if it's happening to you. I don't notice any kind of increase in my productivity, but I will say that when I do focus on a project like putting this podcast together or doing some of the freelance work that I do on the side, I can focus like a laser right now. I can shut off everything else and just like plow through the work really fast. And I think that's a consequence of what they're talking about. Conversely, one way the stress may be manifesting itself is you don't have much interest in anything. COVID anxiety can appear as apathy, says one expert. That's because routines that have given us a structure and a sense of purpose are now disrupted or gone entirely. The antidote is to use this time to create new routines for yourselves and find new interests. A loss of interest in some of your favorite activities is totally normal right now, but it may also indicate that you need professional help. Number six, intense loneliness. You know, with all of the bars and restaurants and theaters and gathering places closed, it's totally normal to feel lonely, especially if you are alone. You know, if you don't have a partner or kids or a parent living with you, loneliness is totally normal. And, you know, the remedy that all the experts are recommending is just social connection via social media, Zoom, Skype, telephone, you know, connect with someone else. It really does help. When I have just a frivolous conversation with a friend, you know, just call them up and just shoot the shit and laugh and gossip, it just feels so much better than just being isolated. So I definitely recommend doing that if you're experiencing loneliness. You may also be experiencing reactivation or agitation of other mental health conditions. So in other words, if you were always someone who struggled with depression, right now you may be feeling it a lot more. The same goes with bipolar disorder, anxiety disorders. You know, any problem that you struggle with is going to be exacerbated right now. Having a global pandemic doesn't make those conditions better. It makes them worse. And, you know, the main thing is if you're on meds, keep taking them, get sleep, eat well, try to exercise. And, you know, talk to your therapist, talk to your counselor, talk to you, to friends and family if you're feeling not well. Mental illness has to be attended to as much as physical illness does. Number 8, you're getting more headaches or physical issues. I have been getting headaches. Not a lot. But I'm not someone who gets headaches unless I'm getting sick or unless I've, you know, had way too much to drink the night before. But yeah, lately I just sometimes in the late afternoon I get a kind of a dull headache, and you know, Advil usually takes care of it. But mental and emotional problems can often manifest themselves in physical ways. And number 10, here we go. You keep forgetting things. This is a cognitive symptom of anxiety. Your brain is overloaded with stress and may struggle to manage tasks and mental checklists that seemed routine before. It says if you're dealing with any of these issues, reach out for professional support. Well, I don't think I have to reach out with regard to my short-term memory loss. I do eventually remember what it was that I needed to order. But, you know, the whole point of this is if you're feeling weird right now, you're not alone. And there's nothing wrong with you. You're having a normal human reaction to this very abnormal situation that we're all in. In other news, you guys, you know, here in New York, we're still pretty much on complete shutdown mode. There are some restaurants where you can go and stand outside and someone will like kind of meet you at the door and you can get food or alcohol for takeout. But that's it. Like, and you know, people are gathering outside, but like staying socially distanced and with masks on. Meanwhile, in other states, particularly states led by Republican governors, they're just like opening shit up. They're like, okay, come on back. Barbershops, you know, nail salons, amusement parks, like go for it. Probably too soon. But this caught my eye. In Dallas, you know, they have that moron, Greg Abbott is their governor. He's one of the, he's a Trumper. And he's basically reopened everything, as far as I know. The gay bars in Dallas have collectively decided that they're not reopening yet. They're going to be more responsible than the governor, and they're going to protect their patrons. However, there is an exception to this, and it's called Club Dallas. Club Dallas is a bathhouse. And it has announced that it plans to reopen May 25th. Now, again, I'm recording this on May 24th, so that would be tomorrow. By the time you listen to this, you DNR subscribers on May 31st will know whether or not this happened. But listen to how fucked up this is. Toll Road reports that Club Dallas made the announcement before subsequently deleting its post. In the original post, it said social distancing must be maintained in all areas. This is a bathhouse. The same report also says that showers and public play areas will remain closed, although private rooms will be available for rent. Club staff will require face masks and in some areas, and offer temperature checks at the door. What they don't mention is that those temperature checks will be performed rectally, and they won't be done using a thermometer. Thank you. The opening comes as Texas, along with several other Republican-led states, have rushed to open public spaces despite warnings from public health officials of a second wave of coronavirus infections. Listen, right before I went on the air, I went to this website, the Club Dallas Bathhouse website, and they just have a standard thing up that says, like, we're closed down in the interest of public health and stay safe, and it doesn't say anything about reopening. So maybe they had second thoughts. I, for one, do not understand how any bathhouse is going to observe a semblance of social distancing. I mean, you literally go there to suck and fuck and sometimes fist and piss, depending on how kinky you are. So I doubt this is going to happen. I think also there was like immediate backlash against it. But listen, if you're in Dallas and you're feeling brave, and you want to check out Club Dallas, let us know. Give us a full report. And tell us what it was like getting fucked while wearing a surgical mask. That was a double shade bell. Meanwhile, this story caught my eye. Grindr may soon have a coronavirus filter. A software company has just introduced something called a digital health passport that can be linked to your dating profile to show that you are COVID-19 negative. This was in the Daily Mail, that shitty British tabloid, so take it with a grain of salt. But the Daily Mail reports that in Manchester, England, a UK-based cyber developer called VST Enterprises is developing technology that would allow a doctor or nurse to upload the results of a government-standardized COVID-19 test to a user's health profile. And then that health profile would then link to a user's dating profile, allowing potential dates to see the results. The profile would also include a countdown to show when the user would need a follow-up test. This technology is known as CoviPass, and it can also be used potentially to screen people for travel or visits to large venues like sporting arenas. According to this article, the first 50 million passports begin shipping next week, although test shortages in different regions, including the U.S., could hinder the efficacy. None of this makes sense to me. First of all, I'm a little bit dismayed at the idea of people on Grindr or these other, you know, gay hookup apps having, you know, COVID negative or COVID positive statuses. It reminds me of sero sorting when it comes to HIV. For many years, and it still happens sometimes, people say like, oh, negative and only want someone else who's negative. And that kind of sero sorting has been proven to be wildly ineffective. You may be negative. You may believe that you're negative. You may put on your profile that you're negative. And by the time you hook up with someone for sex, you could be positive. If that's true of HIV, and it is, it's certainly true of COVID. I mean, you know, I could be negative right now, walk down the street to the grocery store to pick up a quart of soy milk, come home and be positive. This happens all the time. So maybe I'm missing something, but this just seems foolish and completely untrustworthy to me. Not to mention that the COVID-19 tests themselves are not 100% reliable, although the COVID tests are more reliable than the antibody tests. In any case, I would be surprised if this technology showed up on your hookup app anytime soon, but then again, nothing surprises me these days. All right, well, Friday night, this past Friday night, was the first ever digital RuPaul's Drag Race reunion special. And we all tuned in to see how they were going to do it. And, the big question for me, and I know this was a question for Ryan as well, is would they finally address the whole Sherry Pie controversy? I, for one, was really interested in knowing what the queens thought of Sherry Pie. You know, we don't know anything about how she behaved backstage on the show. Was she a hero? Was she a villain? Did they love her? Did they hate her? We'll never know, at least not from the special. But I don't want to spoil anything else. So now, without further ado, our RuPaul's Drag Race correspondent, Ryan Frostig, has called in with this recorded RuPaul Drag Race update. Listen.
Shantae, you stay.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, we made it to the season 12 reunion of RuPaul's Drag Race, and it was awkward as fuck. First, we see the Shady Bunch, which was actually pretty cute. It was a sort of tribute to the Brady Bunch with all the girls at their little Zoom setups. But then we see RuPaul, and he looks so frightening and possibly sedated. He's wearing this blue Nacho Libre latex wrestling mask and a basic purple hoodie, and I guess social distancing is very serious to him and didn't want to even have Raven come over to beat a mug, but he was there. Aiden Zane was there, not wearing a pussycat wig, actually in beautiful long hair, really gorgeous, but actually seated in front of a display of pussycat wigs. We saw Heidi in Closet looking lovely. And also, one of the other highlights for me as far as looks was Crystal Method serving Ebenezer Scrooge realness, holding a candle the entire time. That was fabulous. I loved that, Luke. And Jan was wearing a robe made of her memeable faces. That was brilliant. But the biggest thing that I was wondering whether or not they were going to cover was obviously everything that had gone on with Sherry Pie. And although there were a couple references to her slightly made by some of the queens, RuPaul did not mention her name or her actions. And it was a little anticlimactic just because I think we needed one final time of RuPaul condemning the actions of Sherry Pie and not just a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode. But overall, it was entertaining-ish, mostly boring, and we will see how the finale goes next week. Gigi Good, Crystal Method, Jada Essence Hall. There will be 5 lip syncs. I don't know how the math works out there. 3 girls, 5 lip syncs, but we will see. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you, Ryan Frostegg. And I hope you guys appreciated the sound quality of that. Not only was that pre-recorded, but I have a brand new Sony Bluetooth speaker that I had to purchase because the JBL speaker that I was using, I accidentally dropped down an air shaft the other day. Don't even ask. So once again, spending money on this podcast, which you need to nominate at podcastawards.com. Okay, so in other news, and I wish Ryan were actually live for this because it's right up his alley. The headline is, can smoking pot protect you from the coronavirus? It might. Researchers from the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada, where Lars Kelly lives, looked at 400 cannabis strains and focused on about a dozen. They studied how extracts high in CBD, you know, which is the main non-psychoactive ingredient, interacted with receptors that coronavirus uses to attack cells. The extracts lowered the number of receptors that the virus uses to infect cells and multiply by more than 70%. Let me repeat that again. The CBD extracts from pot lowered the number of receptors that the virus uses to infect cells and multiply by more than 70%. So that's pretty promising. However, the team of researchers says people should not rush out and buy cannabis products. I say they should. They say that clinical trials are needed to confirm the results. If the trials prove to be successful, CBD strains may be used as mouthwash, gargle, inhalants, or gel caps. One of the scientists pointed out that it would be a lot cheaper for people than you know, medication is, and it would have a lot less side effects. Again, you know, when they extract CBD for treatment, it doesn't make you high. It's the non-psychoactive component. But listen, it seems that there may be something in marijuana that makes you less susceptible to being infected. And I will say that after going for a long time without smoking pot, I have started smoking pot again. Right at the same day that we were told to work from home, I saw what was coming and I ordered myself some Dubage. And I got to tell you, it's been helpful to me. I have issues with weed. You know, it's not great for me. It makes me eat too much. It makes me insatiably horny. It makes me lazy. It dulls my emotions. You know, these are all bad things. But on the other hand, when you're going through a crisis like this, there are less healthy ways to deal with it than, you know, doing a bong hit at the end of the day, which is when I do it. I don't smoke during the day. I certainly don't smoke during my work day. I could not get anything done. I don't know how people do that. But, you know, a bong hit in the evening for my nightly TV viewing and then for sleep, it's been kind of lovely. And knowing that it might also protect me from coronavirus is just an added bonus. Meanwhile, a new PrEP treatment would require a single injection every 2 months instead of a daily pill. Pink News reports that the pharmaceutical company GSK claims to have stopped early testing of the drug, this injectable drug, after it proved 69% more effective at preventing the transmission of HIV than oral PrEP. Now, let's remind you that the efficacy of oral PrEP is very high. It's like 90, 95%, something like that. This injectable is 69% more effective than that. The new drug is called cabotegravir, and they tested it on 4,600 people in North and South America, Africa, and Asia, which is good because too often these tests are just done on white people. The trial included gay and bisexual men as well as transgender women. 50 people in the study out of those 4,600 contracted HIV. Of those, 12 had tried the new injection while 38 took the daily pill. So in other words, only 12 out of 4,600 who took that new injectable wound up HIV positive, whereas 38 of those who took the pill, which, by the way, both of those are scary if you are trying to stay negative, as you should be, but still, it's a tiny rate. You know, 38 people out of 4,600 people, that's a really effective rate. These studies, the study results demonstrate that long-acting injectable cabotegravir dosed every 2 months can successfully reduce HIV acquisition in at-risk men who have sex with men and trans women, the lead researcher said. Okay, remember what I said earlier about 90 to 95%? It's better than that. Previous studies have found PrEP to be more than 99% effective at preventing HIV transmission when taken correctly. Still, some patients report difficulty accessing or remembering to take a daily dose of those two drugs, Truvada or Descovy. I got to tell you, I take one pill a day for HIV. I take something called Genvoya. If someone said to me, Adam, you know, you don't have to take that every day anymore. We're just going to give you an injection every 2 months. I think I'd stick with the pill. Swallowing a pill a day is not a hardship for me. It's not a struggle. It's like the same as drinking water every day. I understand that that's not who this is for necessarily. I'm not the person that this new drug is for. This new drug is for people who either don't have access or for whatever reason don't take their pills every day as prescribed. You know, there's all kinds of socioeconomic factors that go into that. But access is the main thing. So yes, it could be wonderful and life-saving and life-altering for those for whom taking a daily pill is not feasible. But again, I would so much rather take a pill than be injected. I hate needles. I hate injections. And I mean, listen, thank God. Thank God we have all these options now. And thank God that they keep working on this science to further eliminate HIV from the population. Because at one time, that would have been unthinkable. And that's a good thing to keep in mind right now as we feel this fear and anxiety, uncertainty about coronavirus, about COVID-19. As hopeless as it may seem, man, if they're able to do it for HIV, they will be able to do it for this, and probably a lot sooner. With HIV, there wasn't this sense of urgency because it was only affecting gay men and drug users in the beginning. So, you know, the medical establishment and the government were like, fuck this, we don't care. But COVID affects everyone. Everyone's at risk. So I think it's promising when I read things like this. Meanwhile, here's a story we started to do last week and we ran out of time. It's actually a very old story. It's from like May 4th, but I'm going to fucking do it because I want to make a point about it. The headline is Nicki Minaj comes. Wait a minute. Nicki Minaj says she's no longer bi and people are allegedly pissed about it. That's my headline. So this article from Queerty calls Nicki Minaj an occasional LGBTQ ally, and she's now been accused of peddling harmful bisexual stereotypes in a new single that she dropped called Say So. It's actually the Say So remix with Doja Cat. In it, Minaj claims she's no longer bisexual. During the song's outro, she raps, "Used to be bi, but now I'm just hetero." I have to say, I never knew Nicki Minaj was bisexual to begin with. nor did I care. But many people on Twitter, of course, found the lyric problematic, feeling that it perpetuates outdated and negative ideas about bisexuals. One Twitter user named Fuck the Rich said, tweeted, Nicki Minaj singing used to be bi, but now I'm just hetero is so problematic. People are going to take that to justify saying that bisexuality is just a phase, which it 100% isn't. So conclusion, fuck Nicki Minaj and her rapist of a husband. My shade bell's not prepared. I didn't know her husband was a rapist. Legal disclaimer. That's the Twitter user saying that, not the Adam Sank Show. Here's another one. Ever for Emma tweets, that Nicki verse is so gross. I used to be bi, but now I'm just hetero. Yes, thank you. That makes bisexuals look great. And that makes the entire LGBT community look great. Thank you so much. Apparently in 2010, Nicki talked briefly about her sexuality with Rolling Stone, explaining that in the beginning of her career, she pretended to like girls to get attention. Quote, I think girls are sexy, she said, but I'm not going to lie and say that I date girls. Of course, Minaj is not the first pop star to be accused of getting it wrong about bisexuality. Last year, singer Liam Payne received criticism for his song Both Ways, which detailed a sexual encounter with a man and two women. Many felt the song's lyrics perpetuated passé stereotypes often attached to bisexual people, particularly bisexual women. Payne later apologized for it. Look, we talk about this a lot on the show. This has come up again and again and again. Yes, there are a number of celebrities who seem to use queer sexuality as a marketing tool. We saw it with Andrew Garfield when he was in Angels in America, and he talked about how, like, oh, you know, I might be bisexual. I've just never played in that part of the garden. And Aaron Carter sort of came out as bi just as he was trying to relaunch his sad career, and then he, like, went back into the closet and said he was never bi. It is wrong. It is fuckery, as JB would definitely say if he were here with me right now. But on the other hand, you know, as queer people, we support the idea that sexuality is fluid, right? We support gender fluidity and we support sexual fluidity. A woman could be straight her entire life, identify as straight, only date men, and then she meets a woman and falls in love with her and marries her. That happens all the time. And we don't say, like, oh, fuck her, you know, she's just, like, bullshitting. She pretended to be straight, but she's really a lesbian. I mean, there are people who say that, but that's wrong, right? We have to support people just being what they are and being what they want to be. And, yeah, we can call it out when it's an obvious marketing ploy and when it's just, like, a way to get publicity and call it bullshit. But I don't know that it matters so much. Whether Nicki Minaj is bi or straight or whether she says she is, I feel like we're sort of past that. I think there was a time in our culture when someone kept coming out made huge news. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres was on the cover of every news magazine in the country when she came out. But is it such a big deal anymore? We have so many out celebrities, gay, bisexual, lesbian, trans, non-binary. It's kind of like not big news anymore. And so, I don't know. I think if Nicki said she was bi and now she says she doesn't, good for her. She should live her life. I can't get worked up about it, especially right now. Speaking of Ellen DeGeneres, it's time for this week's Ellen is Secretly Mean update. And since Ryan's not here to sing the bumper, I will. You're a mean one, Ellen DeG. You're a privileged talk show host. You have splinters in your pussy and your heart is made of poo, Ellen DeG. If I had the choice between spending an afternoon with you and being double penetrated by Kevin Hart and George W. Bush, I'd gladly take the double DP. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Thank you. Well, I don't have any new dirt about Ellen this week, which is shocking. However, an insider, and you know that means nothing whenever they say an insider, but an insider say she's at the end of her rope over all this negative press. this insider talked to Us Weekly and said, Ellen thought this was all just sour grapes from a few haters, but it's not a passing thing. The hits just keep on coming. Yes, they do. Once again, this all started back in March when several of Ellen's former employees came forward to accuse her of being secretly mean. I'm secretly mean. Then all these other people came out. We talked about this last week. Anyway, according to another insider, this is insider number two, Ellen's wife, Portia, has been helping to manage the emotional toll the onslaught of allegations have had. Quote, Ellen is so grateful to have Portia in her life as a soulmate and a sounding board, but that doesn't mean it's been easy. Their home life is strained right now. Her real friend, this is such a stupid quote, her real friends never ask her to be funny or tell jokes. They accept her as is. I don't think the criticism of Ellen has been that she's not always funny and telling jokes. I think we understand as human beings that entertainers do turn it off when they get off stage. But anyway, despite all the negative headlines, ratings for Ellen's talk show have not been impacted. One of these insiders says, Ellen's been in our homes for so long, it'll take a lot more than a boyfriend and a blogger to change how people feel about her. Oh, that is our guest calling in. Here we go. Hello, hello. Hello, can you hear me? Hold on, let's make sure this is on the right speaker. Say something. Hello?
Hi, yeah, can you hear me?
I can, and now we're going to do the official introduction, so stand by.
That's right.
Our guest today is making her triumphant return to the ass. She is a comedian, author, speaker, TV personality, wife, mother, and one of my dearest friends in the world. She has a new book coming out today, entitled You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy. She's joining us all the way from, I don't know, Los Angeles?
Texas.
From Plano, Texas. Please give a warm-ass welcome to Kareth Foster.
Oh, I love warm-ass welcome.
Kareth, how are you, my love?
Oh, honey. You know, thank God I wrote the book because life is far from perfect.
It certainly is.
I'm going to go with happy right now. We are now fostering five, well, excuse me, it was five baby bunnies. Now it's four.
Oh, my God. Hold on, Kareth. I'm still having issues with the sound here. Just stand by. This was working perfectly earlier.
It does sound a little funny on my end.
Yeah. All right. Say something else.
Okay. I can count to six. One, two, three, four, five, six.
All right. This is good. So, Kareth, you're in Plano, Texas. You got the husband. You got the kids. Are your parents in the house with you?
Oh, thank God. So my parents are like 10 minutes away, which is crazy because I never thought I'd like go back home again.
Yeah. So what's
I get why people do.
What's the daily routine under quarantine? What's your life like?
Oh, God. Well, I've been playing catch up. You know, I mean, not having any speaking engagements to go to has meant pivoting, right? Isn't that going to be the word of 2020?
Yes, we're all pivoting.
Right, next to unprecedented, you know? Mm. So I'm figuring out how to take all the things that I do. I mean, my heart breaks for comics because I don't know how. I mean, I am a comedian, but, like, I haven't really been doing the Zoom shows. Like, comedy wasn't my number one income source. It's hard enough for me not having a live audience to go to. But at least I can do it online and go to conferences and,
right,
you know, that kind of thing virtually. So that's what I'm really doing, just kind of getting my act together that way, promoting the book, and hopefully that will lead to some other things. And I'm creating some online programs for people.
How are you getting along with your husband and your children?
I have to tell you, fortunately, we are so used to being together, which wasn't normal for most people. Like, most people see each other, like, you know, in the morning, they go have their 8 to 10 hour day, come back, have dinner, go to bed. So we've actually been getting along swimmingly. I can't complain. Like, we were kind of joking about how many divorces are going to happen after this.
Yeah. Did you see Mary-Kate Olsen and her husband just announced a divorce?
No, I didn't see that. Is that the one who's married to the really old guy?
Yes.
Are you sure they're divorcing or he's just too high risk for her right now?
No, no. She's She announced that she like couldn't live with him anymore, and I think she moved out of her own home. It's crazy right now. I mean, listen, there have been times during this epidemic where I've felt very grateful to be single, because I don't do well spending endless time with the same person.
It has to be the right person. I mean, literally last night I was, you know, kind of snuggling with the odds. I'm like, aren't you glad we like each other? Like, how miserable would we be if we couldn't stand each other? And my heart breaks for people who are in not only relationships they don't want to be in, but like abusive relationships that they don't have options.
Also, think about this, Kareth. What if you were having an affair before this started, and now you're cut off from your true love, and you have to deal with like your spouse who you can't stand?
We were talking about that too. We thought all this stuff. Do you have a bug in our house? Have you been listening to our conversation?
I have been listening. Yes, I have a listening device in every Plano, Texas home. That's where the action is happening. Kareth, you've got this book coming out called You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy. What will people learn when they read this book?
Well, I break it down, right? And I call it Getting Back to the Basics. And each of the letters in the word basics is an acronym for various things. Like the B, there are a few Bs. One is be present. Be kind. Because, you know, we know to be kind to other people, but sometimes I think we forget to be kind to ourselves. That means, like, giving ourselves grace. Like, all the people who are like, oh, during this quarantine, I should be writing a novel or completing that script or, you know, creating a whole new... But no, you need to have a little bit of time to just be with yourself, have some grace, because we're all grieving. I mean, whether we're grieving the actual loss of a person or just, like, what... used to be normal, like we're grieving something. So give yourself grace and be kind. The A is ask for help, ask for what you want, be specific. And sometimes you're interested, you should ask, why is this happening for me versus to me?
Right. Well, what is this drive that people have to be perfect? Where do we get that from?
Oh gosh, I'm not Brene Brown, so I don't know the psychology behind it. But I do know that it's almost this innate thing. And it certainly gains steam the more we go through life. You know, we are told often by people who love us, like if we do a good job and we're a kid, oh, that's perfect. So you want to strive for that because you want that positive affirmation and attention. Then we are fed the message of, you know, perfection is the ultimate goal from the media. Now social media, which isn't helping. And the ironic thing of all of it is there's no such thing as perfect. There just isn't. You know, and that doesn't mean don't strive to be the best you can be and put forth effort. But if you're only going for perfect, you'll never be happy. You will just set yourself up for a life of misery.
Yeah, you mentioned social media, and I think that's where a lot of this generation's need for perfection comes from. I mean, I can go on Instagram 24 hours a day and see endless photos of perfect-looking gay men. Beautiful, chiseled, muscular gay men, you know, usually nude, and always having the time of their life. Everyone's always on vacation. Everyone's always surrounded by other beautiful men. Everyone's always in love. And you really start to feel shitty about your own life.
Oh, yeah. You're constantly... Well, that's actually the first S, is stop it. And it's stop comparing. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Because here's the thing. Like, we think the grass is always greener on the other side. My personal belief is the grass is greener where you water your own lawn.
Well, I like that.
And the reality is you have no idea what's happening 2 seconds before that clip or 2 seconds after.
Right.
You know, that is a moment in time captured for just the purpose that it is to get attention.
Now, can I pee on my own lawn? Is that a form of watering?
Can you what?
Can I pee on my own lawn?
My husband does, so he says it's good for nature.
I mean, it is fun. Kareth, you've become a regular on Fox and Friends ever since you appeared in a 2019 documentary called No Safe Spaces. So I have to ask, are you turning into a black conservative?
You know, it's funny. I have been labeled conservative by multiple people. I was shocked when this one person was like, hey, we want you to come on a comedy show. We love conservative comedians. I'm like, who are you talking about? Because if anything, I am a liberal in the classical sense. I believe in freedom. I believe in freedom of speech. I believe people should have freedom with what they inject into their bodies. I believe people should have freedom of choice. So while I think it's interesting that being a proponent for free speech has been labeled a conservative issue, I personally think, especially as a speaker of comics, that's like nonpartisan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a huge proponent of free speech, and I will defend anyone's right to speak, even if it's speech that I hate, right? That's mm-hmm. sort of the whole idea behind free speech. At the same time, don't you think colleges and universities have a right to decide who speaks on their campuses and who doesn't? Like, what if the head of the Ku Klux Klan wants to come to a university and speak? Should the university just, you know, allow them with open arms to do so?
I don't think the arms will be open, but I do think they should be allowed to. It's kind of like what you said. I mean, the whole idea of college and university, isn't it to broaden your horizons?
Sure.
Right? And expand your mind and way of thinking. And if you aren't being met with opposing views, you're just going to be living in a bubble. And that doesn't mean you're saying you agree with what that person is saying, but you're allowing civil discourse and the opportunity for debate. When you cancel someone out, you cross that out, and you basically are sending the message that it's okay to just not have anybody else share their opinion. And what happens when it's you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
it's not easy. This isn't a comfortable thing. Like,
I think the real problem is extremism, right? I think there's the extremism of the far left. While it's not deadly the way that the extremism of the far right is, it is a problem. And it's funny. I remember being in college in the early 90s. You know, I went to college from 89 to 93. And I remember thinking, mm-hmm. like, there's some crazy shit being said on this campus and so much anger. And at the same time, it opened my eyes to all kinds of things that I had never even thought of before. I don't feel like people with racist views are a stifled minority. I feel like they're in the White House, you know? So it's hard for me to make a case that, like, if Milo Giannopoulos or whatever the fuck his name is goes to your campus, that he needs to be heard. I don't think he needs to be heard. I think we can hear him in the policies of Stephen Miller every single day.
But you understand that the people who were so opposed to Milo coming, they caused such a stink that he got even more attention than he would have gotten if they'd ignored him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. Kareth, in the time remaining, it's time to play everyone's favorite at-home quiz show, Ask Me No Questions. Ask Me No Questions. Ask Me No Questions. Yeah. Number one, you're married to an Australian man. Is it true what they say about their size down under?
What do they say? This is the only Aussie I've ever been with, so... is it supposed to be comparable to a black or Jewish guy?
Yes. No, not Jewish, but definitely black.
Well, see, that's the thing. I that whole Jewish thing, like, oh my God, I'm still in, like, my own seat. Where did that come from about y'all having small ones?
Well, I don't know that Jews are known to have small dicks. We're just not known to have big ones. It's not for me, the stereotypes are black, Italian, German, and Australian. Those are the ones.
Well, okay.
And Dominican.
Let me tell you this. Irish from Ireland? Forget it.
That's the Irish curse, they call it.
I guess. Well, no. I mean, like, the opposite of what people think.
Oh, you think it's big?
I'm just saying I went to Ireland in my single 3 days and have witnessed some things that, you know.
Wow. Well, I'm booking my trip to Ireland right now. Flights are only $35 round trip.
Ryanair, right?
Exactly.
You get on that.
But no, I have.
Ryanair right now.
But I have heard that about Australian men, and the couple that I've been with have not disappointed.
You know, I married my husband for multiple reasons, and I've never been disappointed.
There you go. Congratulations to you both. Kareth, describe the worst comedy gig you ever had.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. Okay. I had already done Showtime at the Apollo, and I was asked to do Jamie Foxx's Laugh-a-Palooza down in Atlanta. And I thought it was the Atlanta that I knew, the bougie Atlanta, the Spelman Atlanta, the Atlanta where my family is from. The thing is, there's a Pootie-Tang part of Atlanta that actually is probably the majority. So at the Earthlink Center, the American Airlines Center, sadly, Jamie Foxx's grandmother, who raised him, was on her deathbed, so he had to leave, and he couldn't host the show, so the audience was already disappointed that evening. Earthquake was brought in, the comedian, to take over, and because they wanted it to seem seamless, there was this horrific pause between Earthquake warming everybody up and then the introduction of the comedian and the comic coming out to the stage. So there's so many strikes already there. But I get out there with my straight hair. It was all my hair. It wasn't a weave. It's natural and long. Cute outfit. And I open this mouth with this voice in Atlanta. And I had, I think, 8 to 10 minutes. They gave me the light, I think, at 4.
Oh, my God.
I got 2 laughs. There were 3,000 to 4,000 people in the audience. And they were silent. Like, it wasn't even like boos. It was just silent.
That's so painful.
And if I could have burst into flame on stage, I don't think they would have been thrilled. So I get off stage early, like horrified, mortified, horrified. Comedy Central shooting this. There's another independent film person shooting this. I run back to the green room sobbing, like eyelashes falling off. Like I'm in complete and utter just like dismay, like contemplated killing myself.
Oh my God.
And this girl who was there, who kind of adopted me, was like, hey, listen, Kareth, there's people at the door who want to see you. And I'm like, no, I can't see them. She goes, no, I think you want to see them. So I'm thinking it's my cousins who came to support me. I think they disowned me after this. But she opens the door and it's 4 guys, 2 black guys, 2 white guys, gay as the day is long. And they look me dead in the eye and they go, we thought you were fabulous. We loved you.
Yeah, because the gays do love Kareth Foster. That's your, those
they
are your people.
They saved my life that night.
That's so sweet. Well, that's a great, that's a sad story, but also a great story about the power of gay love.
Yes.
We do love our divas. Kareth, name a food that's so delicious that it actually makes you horny.
Oh, that's tough because there's so many. It's so sad that there's so many. definitely something with chocolate. Oh, there's this new, okay. They're called like snippets or something. It's dark chocolate covered pretzels with like a caramel center.
Oh my God.
And you can get them at Costco. And they're horrible because I've gone through like 2 bags and I'm supposed to have given up sugar. But they are divine. Like any stress, anxiety you're feeling, it goes away for like 30 seconds after popping one of those.
Now, have you and the Australian incorporated these candies into your lovemaking?
No. Sadly, we have not.
Well, I think...
But I'm open to it.
Yeah, I think it. That's the next step. what is a lie that you tell all the time?
On the bar. A lie that I tell all the time, probably that I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
But I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, probably like, yeah. Because I don't want to bring other people down. And it's not that I'm not being honest, but sometimes you just don't need to go into it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think actually saying fine when you're not fine is okay, depending on who you're talking to. If you're talking to your mom or your husband or someone close to you, you should be honest. But if someone on Facebook that I barely know says like, hey, how you doing? I'll be like, I'm okay, thanks. I'm doing fine. Because it's really none of their business in a way.
Exactly.
What is your favorite curse word?
Oh, fuck all.
Fuck off. Well, that's a whole sentence.
No. Fuck all. A-L-L. Like, I got that from my husband. Like, if somebody hasn't done anything, like, they've done fuck all.
Oh, so it means, like, we would say in Yiddish, butt kiss.
Yes.
I've done fuck all. I like that. Which of your two children do you love more?
Oh, that is so horrible. What a terrible question. I also have a Chihuahua. That was my first dog child.
Yes, I lived with that Chihuahua.
You did. That's like the joke about, you know, when you're on an airplane with your kids and you have to put the oxygen mask on first. You know, they say pick your favorite. You know, put yours on first and pick your favorite kid.
Right. So you're on an airplane with Savannah, Sage, and Leela. Who gets the oxygen mask first?
I would have to be Savvy before the Chihuahua.
Wow. Wow.
But I have another daughter. But the thing is, Savvy could put her own on. I'd probably have to put the little ones on.
Yeah, true. And finally, Kareth, who's the worst successful comedian working today?
Oh, God. I mean, it's not that I don't like her as a person. I just...
Come on.
It's a girl. Can I just say it's a girl? But
no.
I don't like to talk bad about other women.
Come on.
I just don't... She's not my cup of tea.
Is it Amy Schumer?
How did you know?
I just had a feeling. Well, also, we knew Amy before she was famous.
We did? Yes.
So she's kind of... It's kind of like when one of your group suddenly gets famous and you don't. And you're like, really? Her?
Right.
I think she's great. Like, I think she's super talented. I don't think everything she's done has been a home run. And frankly, I think she's done a little too much. You know, some of those movies
were not
good. I
Feel Pretty. I actually did like that movie.
Ugh, I couldn't watch it.
I was on a plane. I didn't have a choice.
So what we've learned from this, this is what we've learned from today's episode. Kareth hates Amy Schumer. She loves her older daughter more than her younger daughter. Her husband has a big penis, and her book, You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy, is available for purchase now wherever books are sold. Kareth, how can
people... Amazon.
It's on Amazon. It's on all booksellers. Kareth, how can people follow you on the interwebs?
Absolutely. So there are not many Kareths out there, thank goodness. And I saw K-A-R-I-T. So Kareth.com is my actual domain name. And... at Kareth Foster are all of my handles for Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Thank you, Kareth Foster. You are a delight. I appreciate your calling in on a Sunday morning during Memorial Day weekend. I wish you and yours a happy, healthy weekend, spring, summer, life. Let's all get through this. Let's all stay healthy. I love you so much.
I love you so much.
All right. Good night, honey. Bye-bye. I also want to thank JB for putting this show together every week from home. Next Saturday, tune in to hear another brand new ass. As God is my witness, I will keep doing these every week. Subscribe to the podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to download my comedy albums. Follow me, on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Senk. Email me at adam@adamsenk.com. Hey, after you've nominated this show for the podcast awards at podcastawards.com, shoot me an email. Tell me you did so. Prove it. Have a great week, bitches. Love y'all. Bye.